Merry Christmas. Well, welcome to Agathos. Thank you for being here. Thank you for celebrating with us the birth of Jesus. This afternoon, preparing to come here, Peter, our oldest son, saw there's like a macrame. Is that what you call it in our room where someone stitched like our anniversary? That's not macrame. What? Cross stitch. Someone did a cross stitch. All the ladies can laugh. Someone did a cross stitch for us with our anniversary date written on it. And 2009. And Peter said 2009. He read the number. And I said, yeah, it's 2009 years after Jesus was born. And then Peter worked on wrapping his head around that. And do you realize that Christmas, the Christmas holiday, actually, we tell all of our time today based on this one holiday. Isn't that awesome? In the year of our Lord, 2009 years ago, well, that was when we got married, 2016 years ago, Jesus was born, and we tell time based on Christ being born. Isn't that awesome? The whole world tells time on when Jesus was born. Amen. All right, a few announcements. We'll receive tithes and offerings on a Christmas service. It's a little tricky to do this, but it's the last time of the calendar year, so we want to make sure we do that. Mine is right here. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give into your kingdom and to partner with you financially. You're the best financial partner in the world, and we sow these seeds in faith in Jesus' name. All right, it's too quick for you guys. Oh, we'll do the candle lighting in a little bit. It's a family night tonight. Thank you, Lord. Great. Thank you, John, for playing. John actually builds these zithers. They're German instruments, so it's always nice when we have a holiday and he's able to play those for us. Also have another announcement. I want to announce that my sister, Anne Marie, is now engaged to be married to Andrew. They're visiting us today. I know many of you know Annie, so congratulations, guys. It's been about a week, is that right? Ish? Okay. Looking towards June, I understand. Very excited for them. Okay. Reminder that this year, New Year's Day happens to be a Sunday, so you can watch the Buckeyes game at 7 p.m. the night before, and then we'll have normal Sunday service here, which happens to be on New Year's Eve this year. Another note, this is an odd note for a night like tonight, but we need someone to clean. Normally someone cleans upstairs and downstairs. They get paid to do that. They're not doing that anymore. If you would like to have like a little side job with the Anglican Church and with us doing some cleaning, just talk with me sometime. Okay? Last note, this is a tax note. You get, when you do offerings, tithes or offerings, obviously you get a statement. If your address has changed this year, just send me an email to let me know what your new address is to make sure our statement gives the right address for your new address. Very good? Okay. Peter? We've got kids in the house today. All right. Well, I am going to set my timer here. All right. You guys ready? This is a mini sermon. I'm going to try to keep it to about half. So, Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus for a miracle. No, seriously, I'm going to do my level best. Okay. Hey, kids, whose birthday are we going to celebrate tomorrow? Jesus' birthday. Isn't that wonderful? and someone else who has a birthday on Christmas. That's awesome. They get to share their birthday with Jesus. Okay, that's wonderful. Now, here's what I'd like to do. Jay, are you ready to do some scriptures? Or Sarah, are you ready to do some scriptures? We're going to be in Luke 1 and 2. Luke 1 and 2, if you've got your Bible. It's a good place to be around Christmas. After my short sermon, the kids will do their performance, and then we'll have lighting of candles and silent night. Okay. All right, let's start. Here's what I'd like to do today. Simple message. I've only got a little bit of time. So I want to give a very simple message that I think can have major impact in your life. You ready for that? Major impact. So you got to listen with a heart and expectation that isn't just thinking about Christmas Eve dinner tonight or presents tomorrow morning. Okay? Because either way, you're going to be here the whole time I talk. So you might as well get the most out of it that you can. I know for me, I'm thinking about the holiday and what we're going to do and what we're going to eat and what we're going to, my presents and the one thing I have to finish for Megan still and the present I was making or that sort of thing, right? So I just encourage you, lock in right now. I'm going to give a simple truth. I'm going to try to keep it as simple and as brief as I can, but I think it'll be very, very powerful, okay? Here it is. Or I should say, here we get started. What I'm going to talk about today is how Mary operated in faith in order to bring Jesus into the world. And every person in the world, God also wants to know them, and he wants to work through them in order to bring Jesus into the world. It's a model. God is wanting to work through you in your life right now, this coming year, in order to release his plans and his purposes into the world. He's wanting to work through me in this coming year in order to release his plans and his purposes into the world. Jay, if you could do Jeremiah 29:11. I'm skipping around, sorry. For I know the plans, you guys know this verse, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. What sort of plans? For welfare, not for evil, not for harm, to give you a future and a hope. So God has good plans. Kiddos, God, say this out loud, kids. God has good plans for me. Amen. So the question is, how do we walk in the plans and purposes of God for our life? Now watch this one, Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord, neither are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than, For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now listen, when the angel Gabriel came to Mary and said what was going to happen, this was a God's thoughts higher than her thoughts sort of scenario. Can you relate to that? This was God's thoughts were very different than her thoughts. She was not thinking before Gabriel showed up that what I'm going to do is have a virgin birth, which has never happened before and will never happen again, and that virgin birth is going to produce Jesus, who's going to be the Savior of the entire world, the literal Son of God. She was not thinking this. God's plans were exceedingly abundantly more than she had thought or asked. Like Ephesians 3:20 says, God has bigger plans for you in this coming year, in 2017, than you know about. Did you hear me? That's the word of the Lord. He's got bigger plans for you in this coming year than you know about right now. Seriously. And I know it's not the new year yet, so it's almost like a new year message I'm going to give you mixed with a Christmas message, but I want to encourage you because a lot of times between Christmas and the new year, you sort of reflect, you're kind of having some downtime in between watching football and eating. You've got some downtime to think and reflect, and you start thinking about the year that's been and the year that's coming, and we want to learn to operate as Mary operated in order to bring God's purposes and plans to the earth through our lives. Okay, so let's contrast two stories. The first story is the story of Zacharias. Do you guys know him? Luke chapter 1, verse 5. And I might skip through this a little bit because there's about 20 verses here. And like I said, I've got short time. So Zacharias, here's the story. Zacharias is a priest. He's married to Elizabeth. They're old. They don't have any kids. Zacharias has been praying to God for a son to carry on the name. Zacharias, as a priest, got his kind of, it was his turn basically to go minister to the Lord in the temple, and he goes to burn incense before the Lord. So he has a ministry to the Lord. By the way, ministering to the Lord is a great way to have your desires met. Psalms 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you what? The desires of your? Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That's my favorite marriage verse, by the way, Matthew 6:33. My favorite marriage verse. Because a good marriage is one of those things that'll get added to you when you both seek first the kingdom of God. Now, Zacharias ministering to the Lord, and the angel Gabriel, we find out later it's angel Gabriel, comes and ministers to Zacharias, verse 10, or meets him, and the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to Zacharias, standing on the right side of the altar of incense, and when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. It's real easy, we read these stories from the Bible, these accounts, and we don't realize the humanity of the people that experience these things. If you were Zacharias, you would never forget the day that Gabriel showed up to you. These are real experiences that they had. When it says he was troubled by seeing the angel. He was terrified. The angel said to him, don't be afraid, Zacharias. Take note, heaven does not produce fear. An angel from heaven will not produce fear. Isn't that awesome? That's our God. He says, don't be afraid, Zacharias. That's not the purpose, for your prayer is heard. So you see right here, Zacharias had been praying for a son. Your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. You shall call his name John. You'll have joy and gladness. Many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He'll be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. Amazing. And he'll turn many children of Israel to the Lord their God. He'll also go before him, Jesus, in the power, spirit and power of Elijah. So they're saying John's going to be a prophet. To turn the hearts to the fathers of the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's a promise. That's a promise. Zacharias ministering before the Lord, and he gets that promise, which is a direct answer to the prayer he was praying. There's only one problem. He didn't believe Gabriel. What does he say? Verse 18, and Zacharias said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. The Greek there, where it says, how shall I know this? It literally means something to the effect, and I'm ad-libbing a little bit here from looking at the Greek, but it means something to the effect of, from what evidence, on what basis shall I know that what you're saying is true? It was a doubt response. A doubt response. Now, he'd been praying for a son. What did he just hear? You're going to have a son. A literal angel showed up to him. He experienced the angel Gabriel, not just any angel even. Gabriel shows up to him, tells him you're going to have a son, tells all these wonderful things that your son's going to do. This is going to be a good son to have. Proud son to, you know, proud son to be proud of. And what's his first response? He says, what evidence, on what basis, how can that even be possible? I'm old, my wife's old, she's barren. Okay? Now, by contrast now, let's look at Mary's story, because Gabriel, 6 months later, shows up to Mary. Right? Basically with the same message. An unexpected pregnancy is about to happen. Mary's response, very different. Very, very different. So let's look at Luke 29. Actually, I'll start at 26. So in the 6th month, namely after John was conceived. So what happens is Zacharias goes home. He can't talk. The angel said, because you didn't believe, verse 20, because you didn't believe, you ain't going to talk. Zipped the lip, couldn't talk for 9 months, couldn't speak. Everyone's like, what happened to Zacharias? He must have seen a vision. He can't talk anymore, okay? He must have seen God. So Zacharias can't speak anymore, goes home. His wife actually does conceive. And now 6 months after that, Gabriel shows up to Mary. Gabriel shows up to Mary and says, the angel says to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, what was she? troubled, scared again, right? And considered what manner of greeting this was. The angel said to her, what? Don't be afraid, because heaven doesn't produce fear. Mary, for you found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be the Son of the Highest, which to her would have meant this is going to be the Son of God, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Again, to her, she would have realized that was messianic language. And then, and he will reign over the house of Jacob, over Israel forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So she's going to have a forever king as a son. So she just got a promise, right? What's her response? Then Mary said to the angel, verse 34, how can this be, since I do not know a man? Sounds like the same response, doesn't it? It was not the same response. Two different Greek words. Remember Zacharias' response? He's saying, what evidence is there? On what basis is this even possible? How? It's an accusatory how. You've got to be kidding me, how? Almost laughable how. Kind of like Abraham and Sarah. They laughed, right? Sarah laughed about Isaac. You've got to be kidding me. Now, Mary's response, not so. Her response, how, in the Greek, actually means in what way? In what way? As in, Mary was ready to get started. She heard the promise of God, and she said, how's it going to happen? Tell me how. I'm excited to see how this one comes about. Totally different. Mary believed the angel. Zacharias did not believe. Did you catch that? There's a song out that's real popular. Mary, did you know that your baby boy, etc. The issue isn't whether she knew. The issue is whether she believed. The issue is a lot of people know the will of God, but knowing the will of God is not the same as believing the will of God. So let me take just a few minutes here to highlight a few things that we see Mary do. How she walked with faith. 2017 is about to come, and God wants to do what he did with Mary in your life. He wants to partner with you to bring the supernatural to bear in your life. Everything God is wanting to do in this earth is through people. He's wanting to work through people. He wants to partner you, the natural, with the supernatural, him, in order to produce his fruit in this world. Okay? So the question is, how's that going to happen? He can go out. The question is, how's that going to happen? You can do exactly what Mary did. It's a protocol. First, she started with the word. She had the word of the Lord. That's where the faith started from in Mary. She started with the word. Now, we can get the word of the Lord from the angel Gabriel showing up to us, and we can also get it from the Bible, right? Really clear? And we can have a relationship with God, and the Holy Spirit will speak to us, and we have the word of the Lord about a matter. We've got a promise about something God's wanting to do in our life, and so you start with the word. What's the word, right? Two, you want to do it like Mary. Respond to the word of the Lord like Mary, not like Zacharias. Now, God's graciousness envelops Zacharias's kind of disobedience. He said, look, you're going to mess this thing up. I'm just not going to let you talk. My plans and purposes are still going to come to pass. We're going to get John the Baptist. We're good, right? But generally, we want to partner with God instead of opposing what he's doing and accusing him of being a liar, like Zacharias basically did. Okay? So what do? You respond to the word of the Lord in faith, not in doubt. A great prayer to pray is not, what? When you read the word, but instead, how? Show me how. How can I partner with you, God, in this? That's why Mary said, how is this supposed to come to pass? Because she knew a little bit something about how babies were made. And she's figuring, I'm going to have to partner with God in this word. How is this possible? I don't know a man yet. Right? And then that's when God gave her the answer. Notice, by the way, Mary got more revelation when she asked how. When she responded in faith, she received more revelation. Have you guys ever experienced that before? You start to get something from the Lord, and you get the full revelation once you start believing what he's actually saying. God is not a see it, then believe it sort of God. He's a believe it, then see it sort of God. Okay? The third thing Mary did is she leveraged testimonies. So as you're thinking about your next year and what the Lord's putting on your heart, not only do you want to be in the Word about that topic, Not only do you want to believe what the Word says about that topic, but you want to surround yourself with people who have seen the fruit of what the Lord's trying to do in your life. Nobody had ever seen a virgin birth before, but what did the angel tell Mary? He said, "Behold, your cousin." She's already 6 months in, and everybody said she was barren. He gave her a testimony. So where did Mary go? She went to the testimony. Right after her first 3 months of pregnancy, Mary surrounded herself with the testimony. She actually went to Elizabeth, stayed with Elizabeth, and that encouraged her in that process. Okay? Now, you'll also notice later that even when the wise men came, even when the shepherds came, it says Mary treasured these things up in her heart. She did not constantly entrust the revelation of the promise that was on her life and the promise that was on Jesus' life. She didn't constantly entrust that to everybody. Listen to me. When you've got a promise from God, don't tell many people. Let the fruit speak for itself. Don't cast your pearls before swine. She went right away. She hung with Elizabeth, stayed with Elizabeth until she was showing, right? Now, that was a context of faith. She shows up to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth speaks that she's pregnant with the Savior, but she wasn't showing yet. Elizabeth got that by the Spirit. She prophesied over her, a confirmation of what the angel had just said to her, which is probably very encouraging to Mary. You want to surround yourself in the context of faith when you've got a new promise from God. Don't just cast it out to people who are going to shoot it down. Okay? I'm not saying don't get wise counsel, but you get the idea. Okay. Now, that is just about it, but let me just turn to Luke 1:45. This is the theme of the message. Blessed is she, blessed is Mary, who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Blessed is she who what? Believed. Not just knew what the Lord wanted to do, but believed that God was able to do it. Romans 4:21, talks about Abraham, and it says that Abraham did not waver in his faith, believing that he who promised, God, was able to accomplish what he promised. When God makes you a promise, he's able to accomplish what he's promised. All right. Two last verses 37 and 38. The angel said to Mary, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Sarah, I do have a blue slide with 2017 declaration on top. Do you have that? I crafted just a short declaration based on these two verses. I'm going to put it up there so you can read it because you don't want to declare something you don't believe in. But if you believe in this, read it silently for a second, and then whoever wants to declare this over your next year, we'll do that together. Remember, Mary said, or the angel said, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the rest is history, 2016 years later. Isn't that powerful? All of the earth's time is told based on the fulfillment of this promise that was made to Mary by the angel Gabriel. Okay, with you, God, you ready? With you, God, we declare nothing will be impossible. Look my way in 2017. I'm your servant. Let it be to me according to your word. Isn't that powerful? Amen, amen. So Mary is a great example for us. A lot of times when we're thinking about walking in faith, You wonder, like, how's that look in practical terms? I know I'm supposed to believe God, but how's it look in practical terms? If you think about it over this next week, look at Mary's life and Zacharias' story. Both are very instructive to see, oh, that's how it can look in practical terms. All right. My timer just went off. Perfect timing. Very good. Okay.